Radio and UN Women UK present to you a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
On the FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK 24-hour radio show, Albert Hammond Jr.
Ladies and gentlemen, FUBAR Radio, I'm joined by Albert Hammond Jr. in the studio right now.
I feel like in general, women make a positive impression on me. I grew up with my mom. I was always with her and she was the strong one in the family. You know, I think people think, you know, men are strong like because of being physical or because they yell. And I find that that's like, I grew up, that was like a weakness. You know, we don't pay enough attention to that because I feel like women bring life into this world and it's like it's almost treated like it's nothing.
Albert Hammond Jr. FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, this is FUBAR Radio. Welcome, I'm Rachel Downey. I'm here for the 24-hour live marathon. I'm here until the entirety of the 24 hours. It's all to support the He For She campaign, all to do with UN Women UK and Arts Week. If you would like to donate, we would love you to donate. Text UNWN followed by the amount to 7007. And I've got a huge helping hand right now in the shape of Michael Payne. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. And I'm just staring down at my hands now, just wondering how big they actually are.
They are big
hands. The emphasis was on huge.
Yeah,
a huge helping hand. I was thinking, are my hands unnaturally big?
You're a very, very big man. Thank you for joining me today.
No, not at all. It's a very, very good cause. Mm. And to anyone listening, you heard exactly what she said. Text through. I can't actually see the number on the screen right now.
There it is.
770. 70070.
Yeah.
Hashtag He For She. text UNWN. I just wanted to repeat all of that.
I really appreciate you doing
Reinforce it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm impressed. Now, we are obviously here for the He for She campaign, all to do with men and women working together. There's a lot about women's rights, but we need men's backing to enable us. You need a stronger voice to help the weaker voice get there. We need to work as a team. Have you been surprised, and we've been talking about the Time's Up campaign, by the reaction from women who have said they've had sexual harassment, sexual abuse? Have you been surprised by the amount?
Shocked.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Why? Why are you shocked?
Because it's a harrowing thing to have to go through. Mm. And the more harrowing the ordeal, the experience, you always kind of, I suppose as a human, you kind of adapt to it by going, oh, you know, I suppose it doesn't happen that often. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then when you get a multitude of accounts of it happening so much every day, there's just
nonstop.
Exactly. Yeah. You really do start to see how, you know, shocking the level of abuse is, you know, people taking advantage. You really do start to see the kind of sheer size of the problem.
Yeah.
The more time goes on, because the more time goes on, it doesn't get any better. If you get what I'm saying to you, you just keep hearing about, you're either hearing about a new ordeal, or, you know, a new account, someone coming forward, or you're hearing about, you know, the developments in something that you heard about before.
Yes,
I agree. Nothing kind of, you know, you do get a bit, you get disheartened on two accounts because you're hearing more and more about it, but then you're never kind of getting any closure. When it comes to the kind of high profile cases, a lot of them still seem to be in the wind, and there seems to be so much back and forth, but no one's getting down to it doesn't seem like anyone's getting down to the nitty gritty. So
that's true. I agree. Yeah, I really do.
That's my kind of take on the whole thing from my perspective.
How important do you think it is to talk about it? Like, obviously, one of my main reasons behind wanting to do this show is to talk about this, is to raise awareness. So how important is it for you guys to talk about it and realise what goes on amongst your girl mates?
Vital. It's as vital that men talk about it amongst themselves as it is that they talk about it in the wider forums, i.e. with women. You know, I think if it was talked about more, it could be prevented. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Right now, we're talking about it in a reactive sense because, like I said, this whole onslaught, this whole, you know, it's literally been an avalanche, hasn't it?
It has been an avalanche, literally, overnight.
These accounts and stuff.
And it just hasn't stopped.
Right.
It hasn't stopped. In your industry, for people that you don't know, you obviously have your own radio show here. Mm-hmm. Have you come across sexism? Have you seen it firsthand?
In life in general?
Yeah. I was going to say in the industry, but...
Oh, right, in the industry, hell yeah. Like, you see, it manifests in different ways that are kind of that have kind of become the status quo.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
That's more
time you're not even looking for things because they're happening in plain sight. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? From the content that a woman puts out as an artist, how well that will be received versus the same content from a man, you can see it just in that. From how a woman has to be in a video to be perceived in a certain way. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's there.
It's there.
Like, it's right there on the front line. You know, it's there at a consumer level, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You understand?
Do you think it's going to change? I was going to say, when will it change? But I don't know. Do you think? Because then it goes down to sexualization, doesn't it? It's very different for men and women. Do you see a change of it in the music industry, say?
I'm hopeful. Sometimes I am kind of optimistic.
Yeah.
But obviously, time is the biggest factor. Yeah. I don't know if there's going to be... I genuinely don't know if in my lifetime things will change to a purely satisfactory level. Because they're already talking about basic things like, oh, the pay gap, we'll close that in 2048. What does that even mean?
Yeah. It's insane.
What does that actually even mean? How do you know? How have you really put that in your calendar in 2048 and gone, yeah, cool, boom, pay gap closes that day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get the streamers out.
Yeah, exactly. Bring out the tables and chairs, we're going to have a street party.
What does that mean? Yeah. I don't understand. And no one can kind of explain these things, it seems. They just say it, and that's down to that. That's everyone, you know. That's everyone, I think. And it's not... I think sometimes because it's the status quo, people are kind of... Even the people that want things to change sometimes and have maybe the power to change things are reluctant to, because of just pure fear.
And that is the fear that has kept people from talking for so long. It's, you know, the fear of you'll lose your job, your fear of you won't get to where you want to get to, the fear of the way people look at you, the fear... Fear is something that will always be there. Mm-hmm. And it does take a brave person to come forward. I agree with you. I don't think we'll see the change we want to see for a very, very long time. But do you think the younger generation coming through are more advantaged, have more of an advantage than us? Because we're talking about all this now.
Absolutely. When, like, when the old cliche, like, oh, the children of the future, that's true. Yeah. Some sort of cliches are just, they're true. That's why they're
cliches.
I feel
it more at the moment, definitely.
Exactly. I think there is so much more... There seems to be so much more integration right now, because of the World Wide Web. It's as simple as that, you know. Like the newer generation, they just connect so much more when it comes to everything. Everything they do, they share.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying to you? Everything they do, they share.
Again, could be a negative thing, but
there are definitely pros and cons. But yes. I think the pros are that there's more. Like there's a lot more. I personally think that there's potential for a lot more cultural understanding because of the high volume of sharing among the younger generation.
Yeah.
The more you share, the more you know about something, the more you, even if you don't, even if you, because like xenophobia is like you don't understand something, so you just make up all this shit.
Yeah, true.
And say all this disparaging like fuckery about it because you just don't understand it.
Yeah.
You understand?
You're afraid of what you judge what you don't understand.
Exactly.
You're afraid of what you don't understand. You totally agree.
Exactly.
So the more we become desensitized to it.
Yeah.
And that's what
just
it takes.
Normalized.
Yes.
Normalized.
Yes.
Once things are normalized, I genuinely think that's when the kind of cultural shift will happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It will take time. I remember I was the only Jew in the village growing up. And literally, and like I had a lot of abuse actually when I was very little. In a Hertfordshire village, my family, the only Jewish people. And that's the thing, it's because they'd never seen... But again, what does a... You know,
right.
What,
if you ne-
I find that
if they never
offensive.
Knew you were Jewish...
Yes, yeah.
What was there to go by?
Yes, yeah, exactly. So to think on a different scale what that must be like, it's... talking about things, even if it's an awkward thing to talk about, because I know some people feel very awkward to talk about certain things, you know, or are you offended if I say this? Mm. Are you offended if I say that?
I think ask questions, you know, some people are offended by mere questions, you know. People being inquisitive offends people sometimes. And fair play, each to their own.
Yeah.
But I don't think that if a person is respectfully inquisitive, they should stop trying to learn about a culture or something.
Knowledge,
you know,
is power. And
absolutely.
It is.
And as long as you're respectful.
Yes.
You know? But then at the same time, as long as you're respectful, if people don't really want to share stuff. Not everybody, you know, wants to tell you. I was on the tube the other day, and this old white guy came on. He must have been about 90 years old. Mm. Old as fuck, to be fair. To be fair, I'm puzzled as to why he wasn't sitting down. There were chairs available, but anyway, he stood next to me, and he stood staring at me for an uncomfortable period of time. I could just see him in my peripheral.
Yeah.
So I looked at him. I just glanced at him to just make sure that this guy staring at me, or is it just his face that's kind of
there
in my direction? So I looked at him, and he just goes to me, "Are you from Africa?" I was like, "What?
Wow. Oh, wow."
So obviously, I'm kind of like, I'm taken aback by this question.
Yes.
On the tube, never met this guy. We're just on the Central Line. We just happened to both be on the Central Line. All of a sudden, my origin is now in question.
Yes.
So I'm like, so I looked at him. I'm like, "My parents are. Where are you from?"
Good.
It just instantly is like, as like a reflex. I genuinely, the thing is, this is the thing. The point I'm trying to make is that I don't know if he was asking that in an offensive manner.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, the way that black people have been treated by old white men makes me think that every single time my origin is brought up by an old white man.
You feel, yeah.
Do you understand? I feel like I have to defend myself in some kind of way. Do you know what I mean? And it shouldn't be like that. Because he might have just been interested.
But you don't know. Because,
don't know.
Again,
didn't care
you're
at
so
the time.
Used to... You know, used to that way of being treated, probably.
Exactly. And or just, not even, the wickedest thing is, I can't say that I've had a whole heap of racist, I don't take shit. Like, I'm not a mug, basically. Yeah. Like, I can kind of defend myself. And I've just been lucky enough that I've never really got into kind of, oh, you, nigger. You know what I mean? And then I've got a scuff in the middle of the street. It doesn't really go down like that for me. It's not the kind of 70s, 80s anymore, you understand? The
so
racism
true.
Manifests itself in different ways. Mm. It's microaggressions now. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
I do.
So now I'm protecting myself against microaggressions rather than a gang of NF seeing me on the street corner at night, you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
So the way that it's this kind of it's not even a chicken and egg. It's just this. It's a vicious circle, isn't it? Everybody's kind of suspicious of everybody because of everybody's kind of what because of everybody's appearance.
Yeah, it's sad but true. But again, would that old white man say to me, "Are you from wherever?" Would I wonder if he would.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's, well, do you know what? On that note, we're going to take a little breather because we're going to have some guests joining us. But we did have Sam Callahan in the studio. So we are going to play his song, Burns Like Fire. We'll be back very shortly.
You might label me a letdown. I blew the flame out. Of course I didn't want to hang around. I found high ground. Peace out. No, I didn't want to hang around. Girl, you're always in a daydream. Turn 18. Get caught up in the mystery. Lately, I've been wondering why you're champion of blasphemy. Now you're out of time. Too many chances passed you by. I tried walking away before it all blew up in my face. But then the mayhem coursed through my veins, and it burns like fire. I don't mean to be rude. I'm a better me before you. Just another naysay to fade. Yeah, it burns like fire. It burns like fire. And it burns like fire. It burns like fire. Damn straight demolition. You're fucking with the vision. We're on a long term collision. Our minds ain't quite eye to eye. So I decided your decisions. I ain't pretending to be perfect. I can't predict the verdict. Didn't know it starts like this. And there's so much more to come. This ain't nothing yet missed. So now you're out of time. Too many chances passed you by. I tried walking away before it all blew up in my face. But then the mayhem coursed through my veins, and it burns like fire. I don't mean to be rude. I'm a better me before you. Just another naysay to fade. Yeah, it burns like fire. It burns like fire. And it burns like fire. It burns like fire. Same old everywhere I go. San Fran and Tokyo. The seven wonders or LAX. Fast cars, roof bars, or private jets. Champagne and dominoes. Express my mind in the studio. No matter how you try to sabotage, you ain't gonna match my entourage. It's like, oh no, here he goes again. Another track, another rhyme, another hurricane. Let the lyrical madness ticky, ticky, insane. Listen to the words while I'll make it rain. I try walking away before it all blew up in my face. Then your mayhem coursed through my veins, and it burns like fire. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm a better me before you. So now the naysay to fade, and it burns like fire. It burns like fire. I said it burns like fire. It burns like fire. I don't need to be rude. I'm a better me before
on the FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK 24-hour radio show. Lucy Spraggan.
On the phone line right now, we've got singer-songwriter Lucy Spraggan.
Do you know who I love musically and lyrically? I'm just her vibe, Lana Del Rey, at the moment. Well, I've loved her for years.
Wow.
And I just love how she is. So she's like an openly, just weirdly sexual... She just says what she wants to say. She's one of those women in the music industry that you know she just does what she wants. And that for me is a huge inspiration because you don't see that many women doing that.
Lucy Spraggan, FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, welcome back. This is FUBAR Radio. We are here for the 24-hour live marathon. My name is Rachel Downey. I'm here for the entirety of said 24 hours. For the UN Women UK, we're all chatting about raising awareness and lots of money for the He For She campaign. I've got Michael Payne in the studio with me, and we've got some guests. We've got, and I do feel like we need like a round of applause button or something. Do you know what I mean?
I've got one here, look.
So good. So keep it going, Manual. Michael. Let's go with Julia. Girly, hello.
Hello.
And also Leslie Dark, hello.
Done.
I tried to make that sound like an ovation.
It felt so great.
Oh, it's all right.
I wish I had that every day when I wake up.
We can hire him, it's fine.
Yeah.
I am for hire, actually.
Weddings, bar mitzvahs, you name it. You've got it. So, thank you so much for joining us.
It's wonderful to
have you here. Again, I think when I have any guests in the studio, I'm like, do you want to stay the entire night? You're welcome. But don't worry, you don't have to. Let's start off with Girly. Let's talk about you. Tell us a little bit about your music.
Oh my gosh.
Ready
that,
start.
That question. my music, I guess I would describe it as kind of like alternative pop music. I guess I'm always thinking I want to write pop songs, but I want to make them quirky and give them really relatable lyrics. And I kind of, you know, I love like punk music and, you know, alternative sounding records. So I always want to like add that slant on it too. And, you know, a lot of it's political. A lot of it is feminist. And, you know, I like getting important messages in my music too. So I guess that's the main.
And why is that? You say they're political and feminist. Why is it important to you to get those messages across?
I think for me, I just write about things that actually happen to me. I write about my experiences, and I think if you're a woman doing anything, you're going to experience sexism, you're going to experience discrimination, you know, like anyone who makes music, that whoever they are, will experience discrimination in some sort of way at some point in their lives, and they'll want to write about it. And for me, I just, you know, I've experienced certain things where I was like, I want to get this into a song, you know. For me, like, songwriting is like my writing a diary, you know, like, so I think that's kind of why at first that was it. And then I realized that actually putting those kind of messages into songs was really important because of the people that you inspire and influence through that. And, you know, I get messages all the time on Instagram and stuff about like, yeah, you made me actually, you know, want to be more badass and tell my sexist brother to shut up and, you know, stuff like
incredible.
That, which is
You're
awesome.
Making a difference.
Yeah, it's so cool. So cool. So,
And also, you're on tour, your tour dates.
Yeah.
When are you on tour at the moment, or are you going on tour?
I'm going on tour, yeah.
Incredible.
From April 2nd to the 16th, yeah, all around the UK, going to some places I've never been. I'm going to Cardiff. I've never been to Wales.
You'll
love
it.
Is great.
I'm really excited. I think that's the last tour date as well, so
brilliant.
Hopefully Wales is a party place because, you know,
yeah, they, it
gonna
really
get
is.
Down. Are they?
Yeah.
You just like remembering like, times in Wales.
I mean, the first time I was ever in Cardiff, I saw the best crowd surf I've literally ever seen.
Oh, wow.
It was the best. The guy ran at the crowd, full pelt, didn't even jump, just ran into the crowd, ended up on top of the crowd.
That's amazing.
The Welsh have this reflex where you don't have to jump for a stage dive, you just run
That's
into
it.
The crowd.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah, try it. Smash it at the crowd and you will literally end
if
up
I
on
get,
everyone's
If I
hands.
End up in hospital, I'm calling you.
Yeah, it's been recorded as well. This is going out.
Yeah, it's all
I won't have a leg to stand on.
No, you really, really won't, and I don't think Girly will. After that, Alessi's Ark.
Okay.
Hello. Now, I'm reading, I've got like your notes here. You said here you started playing drums after watching Meg White.
Yeah. I went to see them. I went to see White Stripes a couple of times, I guess, when they were on the bigger side of the spectrum. My dad saw them at the Astoria when the Astoria was still there, one of my favourite venues of all time. But I caught them when they were massive. So I saw them at the Hammersmith Palais, and then Ali Pali. And it wasn't just Meg White that turned me onto the drums. One of my all-time favourite drummers is also a lady. She's called Carla Azar from a band called Autolux. You might like Autolux or know Autolux.
Oh, I will check it out.
Very kind of slinty, and it's a good sound.
Cool.
But yeah, I remember just being really mesmerised by both of those ladies. And so, yeah, when I enrolled in secondary school and was asked, what do you want to play? It's like, well, not the recorder anymore, because my parents might evict me at 11. So I picked up the drums, and that was, a
godsend. Isn't that worse than the recorder for parents?
That's a good point.
Very good point, girlie.
That's literally like, actually seen from a 90s film, isn't it? Puts down the recorder,
I had to save up for my first drum kit, and I didn't have them for quite some time. So I just practiced them in the attic at school, so they didn't have to deal with that bullshit sound for a while.
Which is good. They still loved you for it.
Yeah, we still talk.
So. Yeah, we still talk. I go home on holidays. Who would you say your musical influences are?
Oh, it varies, and there are some men, but women-wise, probably Karen Dalton. She means a lot to me. And then of the living, there's an incredible songwriter, poet, just brilliant woman called Morgan Nagler, who's been playing in different incarnations. It was Vag Town for a while, then Whispertown 2000, and now Whispertown. And she she knows no limits, and lyrically she moves me a lot. And who else? I'm very open. I like all kinds of things, from like Tony Allen to, I don't know, some Brazilian music of late. There was a lady called Claudia from the 70s that a friend of mine turned me on to when I was making this most recent record.
Yeah.
And you might not hear Brazil in it, but I was listening to a lot of her when I was making this album. So, there's a whole palette of sound.
Which is, I think, so, so important for any, well, musician, probably creative, to have a lot of musical influences. Let's play your track, actually, DLD.
Cool.
We'll be back in a few minutes' time. Here's DLD by Leslie's Ark.
I was looking for a light or a dimmer. Only needed to find the door.
Forgotten.
FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
Yeah, that's right, 24 hours. I like how it's just reminding me it's 24 hours. Did you get that, Michael? You got that, didn't you? Yeah. It's like rubbing it in. Stop with that wound. I'll cut it open for you, Rach. Yeah, thanks whoever did that, Ida. Thanks so much. Yes, welcome back. This is FUBAR. We have Alessi's Ark. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, you are. You're smashing it. Maybe for the first time in my 27 years.
My horse-like teeth, I tell you, they do wonders. We've also got Gertie here with us as well. Let's talk about inspirational women. I'm going to go to you, Michael. I don't like the answer of mum. We've had it. Don't get me wrong. Love your mum. My mum, good old Bren. Love ya. But not right now. Who would you say your inspirational women are?
I've made it plain. My main inspiration for what I do, because obviously my forte is making music, and as the title of my first ever and only album actually is Blame Miss Barclay, and Miss Barclay was my English teacher in secondary school that I went to not far from here actually, in Highgate. So I'd been expelled from a school before that, ended up at this school.
But then you went to Highgate.
Yeah. My parents had this habit of sending me really far away to school, but not quite boarding, but just like, just fuck off over there.
Just go.
Yeah, so first it was like Fulham. I live in Hackney, have all my life. So good. Hackney to Fulham at 11 years old was...
Wow.
Damn. Yeah. That is a hell of a commute.
That is a commute.
It was
they
a trek.
Hated you.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think
you should make a song called Hackney to Fulham.
Yeah. It was it was borderline child abuse, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But then I got expelled and ended up at St. Aloysius. And I think that was kind of and that sounds weird, but the best thing that kind of ever happened to me, because, you know, I met this teacher, Miss Barclay, and she really put a focus on my creative writing from then. So when I did come up with the concept for this album, which was really intricate, involved a lot of characters and stuff, I realised I was essentially writing a novel. So I just thought, oh, it's cool, the title, Blame Miss Barclay. She loved irony. Do you know what I mean? Aww. So it's a little bit of a nod to her. And she is definitely, after my sister, didn't want to go with sister
it's
either
right.
Because
I'm
it's a sibling.
Sister. I'm allowing that. It's all right. For now.
But my sister, my older sister, Queensley, is just my biggest inspiration in life in general. Wouldn't even be a musician if it wasn't for her. So,
really?
Yeah. 100%.
That is 100%. Incredible.
Good answers, Michael. Very good answers.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet, how I like it. Although for this show, not how I like it. Make it long. Explain why. How does it
draw
make
it
you feel? Let's go to you, Alessi's Ark. Who would you say are your inspirational women around you?
Oh, well, there are lots of angels. I know we've talked about mums and sisters, but they are up there. Out of the web of the blood family, I would say Mary Oliver is one of them. I don't know her personally, but she is an incredible poet that's still writing. I think daily, probably. She's in her 80s, and she's had a really wild ride. She grew up in the Midwest in the States, and is gay. And when she came out, didn't go down so well, and it was very difficult for her. And she never felt very comfortable in her family, and she fled to Providence, Rhode Island, which is still, I think, to this day, quite a liberal town. And she met her sweetheart there, Molly Malone Cook, and she was a photographer.
Wow.
And for many, many years, they collaborated. So I have turned to Mary's poetry over the years. It was introduced to me by this incredible healer called Donna, who's also had an incredible impact on my life. But yeah, carrying Mary's poems in my bag is like the closest to me as the Bible. There's particularly this one collection called Dreamworks. She just has an amazing way of anchoring you there and then to truth and safety, and she's always leaning on nature in her poetry. But she's got a sassy sense of humour as well. I can't recommend her more. Yeah, Mary Oliver, I'd say.
Mary Oliver, that's amazing. Let's go to Gertie. Who would you say your inspirational woman or women are?
Yeah, oh my gosh, there are so many.
Such a big question, isn't
it? I know. Yeah. I would say one of them is my grandma. on my dad's side. So my dad's from Australia, and my grandma lives in Sydney, and she's just a badass. Like she she like
yeah.
Yeah, just I just remember being a kid and her like she always just she was like she's like a chain smoker. She always just had like a cigarette. That's not inspiring, but you know, she always just had like a cigarette and like she was always making me like hundreds of thousands sandwiches and like feeding me ice cream at like 6 a.m. Like she was like gave me all the treats. But she used to talk to me about how she was really funny. This is when I was like a child, and she'd be like, Millie, I went to Catholic school, fuck that shit.
I love her.
You know, yeah. And she would just tell me about, she was always talking to me about, she was like, kind of taught me like, never, don't allow anyone to tell you that you, that your ideas are bad or that you can't do what you can't, what you want to do. And she told me a lot, especially because, you know, I mean, God, when was she born? The 20s, the 30s. So she grew up in a time where, you know, she was a housewife. She raised 5 kids and then she had all these little different jobs. And then she kind of got to an age where she was like, I've been being told what to do by men my whole life. And I don't want to do this anymore. And then she got to her 60s and she went back to university and studied Aboriginal studies and like would go and read to Aboriginal children in Australia, in like the outback, because the situation with Aboriginal people in Australia is very similar to like the Native Americans in America. Like they were completely, you know, the British came over and colonized Australia and then just, you know, kicked them to the sidelines basically. Yeah. And so, you know, life for a lot of Aboriginal people is very bleak. So she wanted to study more about their culture and go out and read to the children and teach, educate them and stuff. So she's just really cool. She's just really inspiring. So yeah, she's definitely one of them. And then there are just so many, I mean, so many amazing, I guess, musicians and women inspired me to do music. Patti Smith is a big one.
Yeah.
Debbie Harry is another big one. You know, a lot of like women at that time in the 70s, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of that era, punk, like the Slits, Viv Albertine, people like that.
It's incredible. Yeah. And I love your grandma.
Yeah. Shout out to Vanessa Toomey.
I would say old Joycey, who was my grandma, bless her. I would say she's a lovely lady. But the only thing, again, you know, go to uni. No, my old grandma, she used to drink a bottle of sherry, bottle of brandy a week. There we go. She taught me everything I know, that
living
lady.
Yes,
you know, it's made me the girl I am, Michael. It's made me the girl I am.
All the good brands of brandy and sherry. Yeah. I bet you know all of them now.
Well, the sherry brand was Croft.
Right.
There are other brands of sherry out
there. You could
have
said anything. I don't know one brand of
sherry. I could have said
sherry.
I always thought sherry just had sherry on the bottle. Yeah. Didn't even have a brand.
Oh, there's a whole new world out there for you. Get ready. Can we get some sherry? Oh, yeah, it's lovely. And if you go to restaurants, they normally water it down, which is really annoying because I like the strong stuff. Mm. And my nan was 92, 93 when she, you know, popped off to the other side. And she was a little frail thing.
Wow, yeah, sherry.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sherry
is the secret.
Things kept her going, I tell you.
I wonder if we need to pick that up on the way home.
You both need to change your
riders.
Need
to get some Croft.
Sherry,
please. That's such a grandma drink. I remember my grandma on my mum's side just, when I go over to her house when I was like 15, because I knew she'd give me alcohol, she'd always give me sherry. And be like,
they're good. Yeah, they're good. I wouldn't mess with the oldies. But yeah, sherry all the way. And I have got into the habit of like if I'm having a meal out at home, I like a little sherry.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a cheeky one.
A
no one's watching.
You have crazy.
Look at you. Yeah, they are.
I don't have issues. Judge someone else. But it's lovely. But yeah, a little sip. Oh, it's a delight. On that note, Gurley, we're going to go to one of your songs. That's such a bad link.
On that note.
From Sherry.
To my alcoholic ways. To your song. But we're going to go to your song, Hot Mess.
Yeah.
Now, so enjoy, and we'll be back in a few minutes' time.
I'm all messed up. I'm messy, I'm all messed up. I'm messy, I'm all messed up. I'm messy as a boy and I don't give a fuck.
Walk into the room with my skirt tucked into my shoes. I skated here, I'm sweating, had a good day, how about you? Let's talk about these damn game plans, they stand way talking over me. Chatting shit, I'm not a kid, well this is patronizing.
combed her hair every once in a while. Look at those jeans, so messy. Jeez, you know what? Her natural hair colour would look so much better on her for her bone structure. She probably doesn't even write her own songs.
Open up my mouth and rap some fiction poems, bro. But all that you can focus on is my makeup and clothes. I don't have perfect skin, I don't live in fairy tale land. Stop telling me to grow some balls, I'm happy as a woman. Also on that subject, maybe you should change your look. Your presentation's fluffy and this time you really took this whole thing seriously, do you really want success? Just cause I'm a girl, I think you know best.
Let's be honest, I do.
They say I'm a
amazing.
That's a big tune.
That's a very good tune, girlie. Thank you so much. We've got to say our farewells to you two. But unfortunately, I feel like there's so much more I want to ask you.
I know. I thought we could be here for the whole 24 hours.
Well, yeah. I heard that she was volunteering then.
I've definitely heard that. Skating can wait, right?
Yeah.
We just need Sherry. We're in for the long haul.
Yeah. That's what I'm still waiting for. That's the only reason I'm actually still here.
Yeah. So basically, someone could bring us in some Sherry. That would be marvelous. Awesome. Can you imagine if I start drinking now? Wow.
By 5 p.m. tomorrow, you're going to be on the floor.
So criminal. So criminal. Right, Girlie and Alessi's Arc, thank you so, so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful, I don't know what day we're on. Friday.
Friday.
Yeah. Michael, like, yeah. Michael, what
something
day?
Like
what day? You're just like, I can't help you, Rach. So we're going to take another quick break, but we will have Colette Cooper in the studio. I'm going to leave you with Flesh Without Blood by Grimes.
Your nose, I went.
change the reality for women and girls globally, please text UNWN followed by the amount you'd like to donate to 70070.
And you can dance for inspiration. Me.
And that was Into the Groove by Madonna. Welcome back. This is Foo Bar Radio. I'm Rachel Downey. And if you are wondering why we are here for a live 24-hour marathon show. And now I've had quite a few people actually ask why are we doing this? So I'm just going to let you in on the reason why I'm doing it. So I, a couple of months ago, I was working with the UN and I heard about the He For She campaign. And it's a campaign I feel very passionately about. The He For She campaign, basically, women, we can't get to where we want to get to unless we have the men by our sides. It's about men and women working together. You know, at the moment, you know, for equal pay, for our rights, we are the weaker voice. And for a weaker voice to become strong, you need the strongest voice to work with you. So it's a campaign that I think needs a lot more awareness. So I thought, as I do a show at Foo Bar Radio, what is the best way to raise awareness and to raise money for the UN? And that is to do a show. Don't want to do a normal show. I don't want to do a show for an hour or 2 hours. If I do something like a 24-hour show, it's going to get people listening, talking. If people tune in, they might learn a little bit more about the He For She campaign. They might start talking a little bit more about women's rights. And then hopefully they will donate some money as well. So I thought I'll do the entire live 24-hour show. I believe we're only a few hours in. But that is my purpose behind bringing this to the channel and the purpose behind this show being here as it is. Now, if you want to donate some money, remember it is for the He For She campaign, just text UNWN. Hopefully, by the end of the 24 hours, I would have learnt this. Somehow it's not sticking. Then follow the amount you want to donate to 70070. It's all about supporting UN Women UK to change the reality of women and girls globally. We can't do that on our own. We need to stand side by side with everyone. That's the only way we are going to make a difference. And I think we can make a very big difference. Now, there's my little spiel over and done with. So I want to welcome into the studio Colette Cooper. Welcome. It's lovely to have you here. How are you?
Thank you, Rachel. And donate, motherfuckers.
Yes.
Thank I wanted you. To swear because it's uncensored. Donate, motherfuckers. It's a great
Thank
cause.
You.
You're
it
brilliant,
is.
Rachel.
Oh, well,
you're so passionate about it. That's brilliant.
Yeah,
girls rule. Girls rock.
They do. They do. And it's so exciting that, again, we can do something like this and talk about things that are quite awkward for some people as well. Let's talk about your music. I know you'll be singing the song Out of My Mind from your debut album, City of Sin. I love here that you were told by Noel Gallagher after a gig, you did all right, kid.
Yeah, he did.
Do you know what? Says it all. Brilliant.
You were all right, kid. You did all right.
That's like, oh, all you need. You. That's all you need. So how long have you been involved in music? Your entire life?
Yeah, kind of. I'm also an actor as well, so I've always dipped in and out of music.
Mm, yeah.
And, yeah, it's just passion, really.
What are you most passionate about, acting or music?
Everybody asks me that. Yeah. Do you know what? When I'm
acting...
I can't choose when I'm acting, and that's what I'm in. I'm in that moment, and I'm passionate about that. When I'm singing and recording and writing music, that's what I'm passionate about at that moment.
We've had quite a lot of musicians in the show so far today, and they've all been very open to the fact that their type of music they perform, they say, no, it's not one genre. I'm passionate about all types of music, so therefore I want to play all types of music.
Yeah, I get that. I'm passionate from rock to classical to punk to blues to jazz. I love all types of music.
Yeah.
But what I'm passionate about singing would be more, it's more blues and jazz.
Wow.
I don't really want to get up and do a Sid Vicious song. Really. No. I don't have passion for that.
I mean, I'd be up for that at like midnight, I tell you. But yeah.
You'll need it, Rachel.
I really will. So who would you say are your musical influences?
Musical influences. I've got many. Nina Simone, Bessie Smith. Bessie Smith, more probably than anybody. My dad introduced me to her when I was a little girl, and I loved her. All the greats, really, all the jazz greats, obviously Billie Holiday, Rosetta Tharpe.
Wow, yeah.
All the good old Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Elvis growing up.
Yeah.
And I loved Kate Bush, although I do try and sing Kate Bush when I'm at karaoke because her voice is absolute opposite scale to mine.
Oh, wow.
So it's a real challenge, and I fuck it up every time.
Good girl.
Can't do it.
We spoke as well earlier on about sexism in the arts, in the creative industry. I mean, silly question to say, have you come across it? But
I think men are scared of me. They'll be terrified to pinch my bum.
Do you know what?
Seriously.
I'm terrified to pinch your bum.
I think they're intimidated by me, but I mean, I've never actually come, not that I've been
That's
aware
amazing.
Of. Sometimes I'm a little bit naive. I don't quite, I think somebody's actually joking with me.
Okay,
I don't
that's
quite,
interesting.
I
yeah.
don't always... I don't always see it as they're being sexist sometimes because I'll just give it back.
Yeah, but I know
a lot of friends have experienced.
And how
that.
Important do you think it is that we are talking about all of this now?
Got to talk about it because things have to change, and I think things are changing.
Mm.
You can really feel it now. Things are changing.
I agree.
It's almost backwards, isn't it? That we don't get equal pay. Are you listening, guys?
Yeah.
You feel guilty.
Wait a minute, you ain't more money in the spend than all of us.
That's beside the point. But yeah, didn't they say like 20, is it 2048 or something crazy like that, equal pay?
But it's 2018. It's like, it's so ridiculous that we are still fighting for these little things.
Just, and that is a little thing, let's be honest.
It
equal
is a little
pay.
Thing. It's like, you know, come on, it's about... And I'm not... It's not about being a major feminist. It's about equality.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
that's
know,
all it is.
Equality.
And why
Simple.
Are we... Like, again, we are more fortunate than other women in other countries. But even looking at here on our own soil, we don't... It's crazy that we're having this conversation.
I know. It's backwards. Mm. And hopefully in... Well, not even 5 years' time, but... We'll look back at this and think, can you remember that? Like we'd say, do you remember when women couldn't vote?
Yeah.
That's mental.
Which is insane. Do you think there will be that change? Do you think it will happen?
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, I agree.
It just has to. I mean,
you got to get more women in politics. That'll change things.
Do you know what? That's a very good point.
And that's what's happening in America now, is that a lot of women are saying no more and they're running for office and having record numbers, particularly black women and Latino women, are just running for the local office because nothing's going to change until the people make the laws. Are representative of the people who need to be represented.
Yeah, that's so true. And again, it's something like that. Again, need
like
more.
How many
women
are in the House of Commons compared to men? You know,
it's ridiculous.
In the House of Lords. It's that's where the imbalance is. So that imbalance is going to be reflecting everywhere else in society.
Yeah. Once it changes at the top, as it were, it will filter down.
More chairwomen and on boards.
But I think
and
that's
like that.
Happening though. It is happening. It's like you know, the film industry. There's more and more. Female directors now and being recognised and producers and all behind the scenes. It is, you know, we're getting there. We're just not there yet.
Yeah.
There's still a guy at the very top making the decision, you know.
Very true and very well said. I agree. Let's go to your song. So it's called Out of My Mind.
Yes.
I'm very excited about this. So I'm going to leave it to you guys.
Yeah, I'm just going to say there's an amazing Steve Council.
Hello, Steve.
On the harmonica. It's fabulous.
Hello, Steve.
He agrees with everything we just said, right, Steve?
Oh, absolutely.
Good. Love you, Steve.
We've got the wonderful Mikey here. It's like Madonna, we just say one name with him, Mikey.
Hello, Mikey.
Playing guitar, he's amazing.
Yay.
And wrote this song, actually, and I changed a little bit of it, so I'm a
She made it
right.
better. She made it more equal.
I rewrote something. I made it more equal, exactly. We need a woman on board.
That's brilliant.
And we'll give it a little go.
Brilliant.
At night, my cigarette's my only light. I have to read this goodbye letter from you. We had a fight, I was wrong and you were right, and now you're gone. I can't stop but thinking about you. Think of you, and I can't get you out of my mind. The years go by, can't move on and gotta try, and you're not here, and it's driving me out of my mind.
so go to hell. I got pride I'll never tell. You'll never know I've been missing you all of this time. Whoa, even now, after all this time, I think of you, and I can't get you out of my mind. Whoa, I think of you, and I can't get you out of my mind. Take it, Steve. It'll never be the same. You tempted fate, and you're the one to blame. Loving you, I must have been out of my mind. Whoa, loving you, I must have been out of my mind. Whoa, loving you, I must have been out of my mind. Whoa, loving you, I must have been out of my mind. Yeah, loving you, I must have been out of my mind. Whoa, loving you, I must have been out of my mind.
Mikey.
Are you sure you want to be known like Madonna, Mikey?
Yeah,
it does. Yeah, he does.
More. He's that weird Canadian with no last name, eh?
Yeah, where is he? Where has he gone? That was amazing.
Oh, Rachel, thank you, darling.
Oh, can you please stay? Can you stay here all night? Is that all right? Every night. Do you know, every time I say a joke, just amazing.
It's great, isn't it?
This is what I've always needed. It's what I've always needed. That's amazing. So that was Out of My Mind. And is it on your debut album, City of Sin?
Yes, it is.
That is amazing. Yeah. When will your album be coming out?
Mm. Might never come out. I don't know. Yeah. That's right.
Later in the year.
Yeah, later in the year.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Rachel, thank you, lovely.
It's my pleasure. Colette Cooper, we are going to leave you guys now for a couple of minutes for Alanis Morissette, You Ought to Know. And thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having us. Thank you. It's been brilliant.